The title for today's message is this: Harvest Harm. Harvest Harm. The portion of scripture that I read to you there, I've read that story over 40 years, I'm not sure how many times, but quite a few times. But I have to be totally honest with you, I never approached it the way I'm going to approach it this morning. That's the truth, never. And it might seem a bit of a strange title, Harvest Harm, but hopefully as we go through it, it'll make sense to you. Last week I watched a program called, maybe some of you watch it, Countryfied. And I'm not sure if I've ever really watched it before, to be truthful. And I was amazed at what I was watching. Now, you know I love the countryside. But nearly the whole program, I think it's on for about an hour, it was dedicated, nearly all of it, to the severe challenges and difficulties that most crop farmers have faced in 2020. It went on to say that crop yields this year were significantly down on recent years, and the main causes were the following: drought, rain, wind, and insects or a beetle in one particular crop. Well, we're going to talk about that in a moment. Maybe do it now, Michelle. This is one of the crops in particular. Now, have you ever been driving out in the countryside and you saw this field, beautiful, all yellow? Yeah? Well, take a photograph, because in the coming years you're probably not going to see it. That's called oilseed rape. I'm going to hit. Put them both up. Well, do one at a time. Do one, then do the other one. Isn't that gorgeous? That's called oilseed rape. And that stuff there, when the colour goes out of it, it goes a brown colour when it's starting to ripen. And it's used in chip shops. I'm sure you have a bottle of it somewhere in your cupboard. Cooking oil, vegetable oil. And you don't think about it. Sure you don't. If you're doing the chips or you're cooking something in the pan, you get the wee bottle of oil out and you pour it in and away you go. But this program identified the fact that this little beetle this year has destroyed about 60%. That's significant, folks. About 60% of the oilseed rape crops. And so much so that the farmers have lost money. And what they're saying now was in the program that many of them are going to look for an alternative crop. So could you imagine if every farmer in Britain, and it could happen, stopped producing oilseed rape? They have the bet then somewhere else in the world. And the problem is this: this beetle, the insecticide that kills it, has been banned in the UK. They can't use it. But these other foreign countries, they can use it. So, I don't like pesticides either, but I mean, there has to be some sort of a balance. But the way things are going at the minute, folks, this crop is going to be decimated from what we see it here, and I love to see it when you're driving out in the countryside. But it could be disappearing very, very quickly. We don't think an awful lot about what we eat. Concerning whether it's healthy or not, we probably do. But what gets it into the box? What gets it into the paper bag? We don't really sit down and think an awful lot. I don't anyway. Usually. Things like bread, things like cereal, fruit, vegetables, honey. We just go into the supermarket and we pick it. We bring it home and then we enjoy it. We eat it. But folks, without the harvest, none of these things would be up here. None of them. And that's why as we go through this and we look at the Bible story, I hope we get a fresh appreciation for just how blessed and how vitally important our harvests are. Because without them, folks, we would be in a bad situation. But what makes people often take notice of something that they've taken for granted? It's usually when they either become unavailable or they become more expensive and you start going, look at the price of a box of Special K. I don't think it is that cheap either. Or something else, and you go, look at the price of that. That's double the price that it was the last time I bought it. Now, those things make us take notice. But other than that, we just sort of take it for granted. We go, we buy, we eat, and we forget. But we shouldn't, folks. And that's why at harvest time, it's an opportunity. It's a special time when we can intentionally, unconsciously say, God, thank you. Thank you for everything that you have made. It is beautiful. Sometimes, and I'm guilty too, we do take our harvests for granted. I have cited some of the things that can seriously harm harvests, and they all come from really natural sources: drought, rain, wind, and insects. But in the scripture that I just read, this was not the case. Samson has been deeply aggrieved. We'll not go into the whole story, but apart from what we read, there was an ongoing, shall we say, dispute. Always between the Israelites, anyway as a nation, and the Philistines. But in this instance, Samson has married a Philistine woman, and things have happened, and there was a falling out, shall we say, and then Samson decides, no, I'm going to go back and see my wife. And he goes back, as I said, to see his wife, but his father-in-law won't let him into the house. Now picture this. His father-in-law won't let him into the house. Samson, I'm paraphrasing now, going, why will you not let me in to see my wife? It's just my wife. I didn't think you'd be back. I thought under the circumstances and the situations, we wouldn't see you again. And again, paraphrasing, but Samson, well, I'm here. I'm here now. Let me see her. Well, actually, I've given her to someone else tomorrow. Could you imagine if that was you or me? That was our wife. Been given away to another man. And your father-in-law says, do you know what? Her sister's far better looking anywhere. Why don't you just marry her? But I don't want to marry her. But that's what it says in the story. The father-in-law actually was offering him his wife's sister. So, to put it in modern language, Samson blew a fuse. He blew a fuse. And then this is what we read. This time, he had had his disputes with him before, folks. But he said this, this time, I have the right to get even with the Philistines. I will really harm them. I will really harm them. How did he do that? He went out, and this was no easy feat either, folks. He went out. He rounded up 300 foxes. He tied their tails together. He tied flaming torches to their tails. But what he did, you've got to try and sort of think about this. He couldn't have just got 300 foxes overnight and lined them all up. And sometimes I think it's the picture people get. Lined them all up and tied their tails together and then tied torches to them and then just went, away you go. He didn't do that. He targeted specifically the Philistine crops. He targeted them specifically. And it would have taken time to do that. And that's why he really harmed them. He really hurt them. And we'll see that. This is what it says. He lit the torches, let the foxes loose in the standing grain. In other words, it wasn't cut yet. It would have been ready for harvest. It would have been dry. It would have just have burned up like that. So he put them into the standing grain of the Philistines. He burned up the shocks and the standing grain together with the vineyards. The shocks would have been some fields that had already been cut. And you remember the old time? You don't see them now. The stooks. Anybody here old enough? Oh, Junior, don't put your hand up, boy. Denial's a great thing, Junior. But you remember them, the Stooks in the fields? You don't see them now, obviously. If you went to a farmer now and go, have you got a scythe about you? They go, what? What's a scythe? You see these combines now, they're fantastic pieces of kit. And in that program, actually, I didn't know this. The modern combine harvester, there's a computer in them. And if something is going wrong mechanically, there's a place in England with screens everywhere, and they know the number of that combine. And it actually showed it happening. The fuel pump was starting to fail. It hadn't failed yet, but it was going to. And the guy was able to go out and fix it before it actually stopped working. And I'm going, wow, modern technology. No scythes now, folks. Big, big combines. But in Samson's day, the Stooks were all piled up. What had been cut. So what did he do? He targeted the fields that had not yet been cut, but he also targeted the fields that had been cut and would have been ready then just to bring in and harvest, put in the barns. That's what he meant when he said, this time I'm really going to harm you. Folks, if you want to harm a nation or a country or a community, take away their food supply. Take away their food supply. Now, you may think, well, does that happen? Yeah, it does. It does happen. Usually naturally. Have you ever saw a plague of locusts TV? You ever saw what that looks like? It's actually quite frightening. And once these swarms descend onto any sort of area that's for food, they decimate it. We know that over in Africa and other countries, people have literally starved to death. Why? Because their crops have failed. Because their crops have failed. Now, that's usually, and I would say always, natural. It's been contributed to by natural causes, or drought. And sometimes severe rain as well can do it, but not over in Africa. Usually it's drought that does it. So folks, harvest is a serious thing in our world. It's a very serious thing in our world. And I want us today to become more appreciative of our harvests, of what God has given us, what he has put in the process of looking after your life, of looking after my life. That's a small picture, but then the world. You know, when things run out, what do people do? They panic. You heard a panic buying, yeah? What happened there a few months ago whenever the pandemic was first discovered, really, and the potency of it? Hard to get a toilet roll at one time. That's hard to imagine. That's hard to imagine that you could go through every shop in this town and not get a toilet roll. That happened. People were panic buying. Shelves were being emptied. Why? Fear gripped people. Fear of starving to death. Fear of not being able to feed your children. Folks, we don't know really anything about, I don't think anyway, putting our children to bed at night hungry. I know I've never encountered it, and I'd be surprised if anybody in church today has either. Maybe you have, but few of us, where your children are going to bed hungry, and then you're sitting wondering, I have nothing to give them for their breakfast. That's how serious harvest is, folks. If there's no wheat, if there's no barley, there's no grain, there's no bread. And one of the things in those days that was very important was their olive groves. They would have used their olive oil, obviously, over their food too, but probably also for cooking purposes. He also targeted their vineyards. He didn't just go for the grain harvest. He went for the vineyards and he went for the olive groves. In other words, when he said, I'm really going to harm you this time, he was using the harvest to do that, to harm them. Now, you read a story, he harmed them with a jawbone of a donkey. He harmed them later on at the end of his life by pushing pillars apart and collapsing in, if you like, part of a Colosseum. That was harm. And I think it tells you how many people in around maybe 3,000 or something in the Colosseum after they poked his eyes out. That's another story. But I don't know how many people he affected, how many people he harmed by targeting their harvest. I've no idea, but it would have been a lot, a lot. Listen to a harrowing prophecy, and it is harrowing, given by Isaiah concerning a nation called the Moabites and their ever-increasing pride. When I was looking at this, folks, and putting it together, I don't know whether it's right for me to say this or not, but I sense it, that there have been occasions where God seems, when he wants a nation, when he wants a people, to stop and take heed or listen or change something, often it seems he has targeted their harvest. Listen to what he did to the Moabites. This is Isaiah 16. We have heard that the people of Moab are very proud and conceited. They are hot-tempered braggers, but their boasts are only empty words. Because of their pride, everyone in Moab, now listen to this, everyone in Moab will mourn. They will wish for the way things used to be. Listen to this. Have you got a favorite biscuit? I bet you do. I shouldn't say a bet. I would suggest you do. You have a favorite biscuit. I do. I'm not going to tell you what it is like, but I do have a favorite biscuit. And I think we all do. Moabites had a favorite biscuit. Listen to this. They will wish for the raisin cakes from Kir Harisseth. They'll wish for them. They'll want them. But they're not going to get them. Now that might seem petty. What's the big deal about a raisin cake? Well, listen to what follows. The fields of Heshbon and the vines of Sibmah no longer grow grapes. You see, folks, in those days, their water was certainly not as pure as our water. And yes, they would have drank wine, not necessarily to get drunk. I'm sure they did that too. But drinking the grape juice was far healthier than drinking the water. That's the truth. The vines of Sibmah will no longer grow grapes. The enemy has reached Jazeer and has spread into the desert and down to the sea. I will cry with the people, weep with the people of Jazeer and Sibmah, because the grapes have been destroyed. They're crying. They can't have their raisin buns and they can't have their grapes. They've been destroyed. They've been targeted. Listen to this line. I will cry with the people of Heshbon and Elah because there will be no harvest. I will cry with them because there will be no harvest. There will be no summer fruit. There will be no shouts of joy for the harvest. Let's be honest, folks. When's the last time you shouted for joy at the harvest? Probably never. A shout for joy for the harvest. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for the harvest, for the good things. We'll sing this hopefully later all. The last video, all good gifts around us are sent. It's intentional. If you send someone something, it's not a mistake. It's intentional. If you send someone a letter, a fruit basket, whatever, a gift, you do it intentionally. And whenever we sing that, all good gifts around us are sent from where? heaven above, then thank the Lord, oh, thank the Lord. For what? What does the harvest signify? All his love. All his love. He loves us. He sends his harvest into our world to look after us, to feed our children, because he loves us. But we have seen, or we will see, and are seeing times whenever there will be no harvest, no summer fruit, no shouts for joy for the harvest. There will be no joy and happiness in the orchard. Says that here too. No apples. And folks, it goes on. But I just want you to get the picture of how important the harvest was to the Moabites. But then it failed. And they were not in a good place at all, folks. The people of Moab will go to their high places to worship. They will go to their temple to pray. But it will not help them. Do you know why it wouldn't help them, folks? They weren't praying to the Lord of the harvest. They weren't praying to the Lord God Almighty. They were praying to a God called Chemosh, C-H-E-M-O-S. He was a false god. He was also known as the fish god, or the destroyer, or the subduer. But he couldn't help them. He could do nothing for them, because he wasn't the one who provided the harvest. He wasn't the one who gave the harvest. They were warned that praying to their false god would not help them. And if you read on through the scripture, you'll find out in 3 years they were decimated. The Moabites, 3 years, they were decimated. If you go into the book of Jeremiah, we read in there of God punishing, that's the word I'll use, his people because they have sinned and turned away from him. How did he punish them? He removed their harvests. Jeremiah chapter 8, I'm not going to read it all. Why have these people turned away? Why does Jerusalem always turn away? They cling to deceit, they refuse to return. I have listened attentively, but they do not say what is right. None of them repent of their wickedness. And it goes on down, and then we get to this. They have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush, so they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when they are punished, says the Lord. I will take away their harvest. They will be brought down. I will take away their harvest, declares the Lord. There will be no grapes on the vine, there will be no figs on the tree, and their leaves will wither. Listen to this. What I have given them will be taken from them. What I have given them, what I have blessed them with, will be taken from them. Until, if you like, they come to their senses. Until they understand who I am. Till they understand the covenants that I have made with them that they are breaking. And they won't repent. They won't come back and say, we're wrong. We shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't have done this. And how did God get their attention? By taking away their harvest. They refuse to return. They refuse to repent. They refuse to follow the path that God had set before them. Folks, harvest hurt was real in Bible times. Harvest hurt. We've read from what Samson did. We've read from Isaiah the prophet. We've read from Jeremiah the prophet. And there's other scriptures as well that you could read from. Where we see the absolute importance of the harvest of our world. And yet it can be affected so quickly and so devastatingly. I don't know if you knew this or not. Now, I thought I had a jar of honey, but I must have eaten it. Because it should have been up here. It wasn't there. And I'm the only one that eats it in the house. And you're probably sitting there thinking, that's great, the pastor eats honey. I think that's why I'm putting all the weight on. I'm eating too much honey. No, I'm not. But the honeybee, they're being decimated. It is so fascinating. Because we know how they pollinate. so many different things. There's a particular, there's a lot of diseases, but there's a new one. I just can't remember the name of it at the minute. But unless they can find something to counteract this disease in the bee, the honeybee, there's a possibility that they'll be wiped out. Folks, our whole ecosystem is very finely balanced. Why? Because God made it that way. God made it that way. God loves to bless the world. We know that. How do we know that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Folks, God is very concerned about our soul because that's eternal. But he's also concerned about our ordinary lives in this life. What we go through, what we encounter, what we face. And I pray to God that none of us here ever face famine or starvation. Because those things are possible. In our society, we maybe think, that's not possible, Pastor. You're talking a bit rubbishy there now. That couldn't happen in our society. Again, folks, just remember what happened back a couple of months ago. When COVID first entered into our world, people were panicking. And I mean really panicking. The shelves were empty. You saw it on the TV. I didn't make that up. Fear. Fear of not having food, folks, is a real fear. For many people in our world today, thank God, that's not part of our world. It's not, really. But we should never, ever take it for granted that it couldn't be. You know the old saying, never say never? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. Unconsciously. We go, well, we never run out of food. We never have a problem with drinking water. Who says? Who said? Maybe that's the way the Moabites thought. Maybe that's the way the Philistines thought. Maybe that's even the way the children of Israel thought. But you listen to what I read to you. Their harvests failed or they were taken away from them. And that's why today, as this is our Harvest Thanksgiving service, it's different, I know. But I just want us all, and I include myself in that, to really be thankful and praise God for harvest. When we understand how vitally important, critical to your life and to my life and to our world, should we not, here's a question, should we not be more joyful? Can you imagine if those nations in Africa who for years have had to encounter droughts and famines, and I don't know, millions of people have died because of starvation, folks. That's shocking. But it's a fact. Millions of people have died because of starvation. I've been to Africa once. It was Kenya when I went to the children's home. And it's different, folks, when you see it up close and personal. It really is different. I never saw one overweight child in the, 12 days or whatever we were there. We went out walking on a few occasions. We met some of the kids. They're great kids who were coming to the Bible Vacation Club, whatever you want to call it. I don't know, there must have been 100 or so, maybe more of them coming. And remember meeting one wee family, walking down the road, and they speak good English. And we were saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? We're out trying to find some wood to burn, to cook, and this is their staple diet, buckwheat. Trust me, I've tasted it. You would not want that as your staple diet. And yet that's all they had. They came to the centre to buy water. Now when I say buy water, it was maybe a penny in our estimation. Because they had no fresh water, but there was a well in the mission station. And I mean, these are real things in our world. Even though they don't touch us, they're touching other people. But I just pray today, folks, that we have a real new sense of appreciation and thanksgiving for our harvest. I really do. And that it's a joyful thanksgiving. It's not just, all right, God, thank you. Thank you for that field of barley down there, drove past the other day. Thank you for the bread that's over there in the spar. Thanks for the wee fruit counter there. No, I mean it from your heart, folks. From your heart. And go, how would I live without these things? How would I live? Imagine going to the Asda, Tesco's, Sainsbury's, wherever you do your shopping. Imagine this. Going in and absolutely nothing on the shelf. On the shelves. Nothing. Empty. What would you do? I'll not just say you, we. What would we do? Nothing on the shelves. For some people, that's the way it is. It's not for us. We're so blessed. So blessed. Problem is sometimes we take blessings for granted. Problem is sometimes, folks, let's be truthful, we take God for granted. We just take his blessings. We take all the good gifts around us. And we just go about life. Well, today, pause and say, thank you, God, for the harvest. Thank you for what that means to me, to my family, and to the part of the world that I actually live in. Because for some people, it's not. I'll stop there. We're going to sing again.